thank you for your ancient words that are still speaking to us today. Lord, we thank you that they have truth and salvation for us. And Lord, we thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to open them up to us, that we may see the truth that is contained in them and apply it to our lives. Lord, now I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit into our hearts to open up these words to us, that we can glean the fruits from the fields which you have provided for us. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was told last night that I am a glass half empty kind of guy. I disagree. I find silver linings in all sorts of gray clouds. Why, some people might listen to this and say, he sounds like a frog. I realized during praise and worship, I sound like Barry White. I was looking back over at Michelle in the sound booth going, turn me up, this is awesome. It's a shame none of you could hear it. It was really great. Father David was rocking out. He was like... Anyway, on to what we were saying. I will go ahead and apologize at the outset, because the one key verse that I latched onto from our gospel today was Jesus' finale. His last words from our gospel, be perfect. So clearly he was not talking about me. He must be talking about you. Which means, of course, that the entire sermon today will, of course, be meddling. So I will apologize in advance. And in the words of Father David, now I'm going to meddling. So with that in mind, let's look and see that today, more than most times, all of the scriptures that we have really work together to form a really cohesive message that really put forward a lesson for us that is applicable today more than most times, and really has a lesson for us about what we need to do and how we need to behave. So let's look at what the gospel says. All right, we're again still in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has gotten a huge crowd together. He's up on a mountain and he is speaking to them, and he's now giving this long series of corrections. I know that people have told you, do this. But I'm telling you, they're wrong, and this is what you should do. I know that everyone says, this is how you ought to behave. They're wrong. This is how you ought to behave. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If somebody takes out your tooth, you should take out theirs. Dr. Don may help you with this. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. And now he's gone to meddling. Whatever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 also. Whoever asks you, give to him whoever asks. And from whoever wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. These are all things that just fly in the face of not just the mentality of the world, but the mentality of Christians throughout the world. We have just largely ignored these teachings of Christ. Whole cloth. I'll take that as an amen. Amen. We're going to call that a tongue, and I'll have the interpretation, and that is amen. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, That's easy to do. Love people who love you and hate people who hate you. Okay, easy. But I say, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Yeah, that's a challenge. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sin reigns on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Even the tax collectors do that. Even the IRS does that. Not quite to April 15th yet. We can still bash the IRS, right? Even the IRS love their family. How are you better than them? But if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Even the tax collectors do the same. If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Even the tax collectors do that. Now, the tax collectors of the days of Jesus were not like the IRS. They were literally traitors. They were collaborators with the Roman occupiers. They were people who had, in the mind of the Jews, they had betrayed the Jewish people. They were sympathizers with Roman occupiers. They were traitors. Could be worse. Could be the NSA, the only branch of government that actually listens. Christ have mercy. All right. Therefore, back to Scripture, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Don't be like everybody else. Be perfect. And at that point, everybody in the room went, check, please. Because if this is what I've got to do, I might have been okay with loving my enemies. But if I've got to be perfect, I'm done. Okay? I might be okay with good. I might be okay with well-behaved. Sometimes. Okay, I can be good with well-intended. But if I've got to be perfect, I'm going to investigate some other religions. I hear some Eastern stuff gets you to do martial arts, and that's always been fun. But if I've got to be perfect, we're done. But this is one of those things where English is just a really, it's a sloppy language. Because if you look at the Greek, which is what the scripture was written in here, the word is teleos. And teleos doesn't really mean perfect. It means complete, full, mature, okay? Perfect is a rotten translation. And you'd think that over the years it would have been retranslated in something that was a little more closely aligned with what it would have meant in the Greek, but they've just never translated it into something that was closer to what it meant. Teleos means mature or complete, okay? So it means more like be mature, be full, okay? But even that, what does that mean? Be mature like God is mature. What? Okay, grow up like God. Okay, he's eternal. How do you grow? Why can't you be more like your older brother? He's infinite. How do you do that? It's unfathomable. But for us, the key to it really lies in looking at the Old and the New Testament reading for today. And it lies in the very first line in it. Be holy, for I am holy. I am the Lord your God. Be holy. So let's look at Leviticus. So Leviticus 19, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." See, the voice helps. And then, just like Jesus did, the Lord says, here's a whole list of things that you've heard the neighboring people do that I don't want you to do. You take every last grain and kernel out of your fields. Don't do that. Leave the gleanings. Leave the corners of your field unharvested. Why? Because I care about the poor. In fact, it was a rule for the Jews set down here in Leviticus 19 that they couldn't reap the corners of their field, and they had to leave parts of their fields unharvested for the poor. It was called the gleanings. And in fact, if you remember from the book of Ruth, the whole reason Ruth met Boaz was because Ruth and her mother-in-law were poor. They had come there with nothing, and they needed to find something to eat, so they went into a field to get the gleanings, that which was left over. Everybody else in the ancient Near East, heck, it just makes sense. You've got a field full of a grain. You get your grain. Not the Jews. The Jews left part of their field unharvested because God said, I care about the poor and I want you to care about the poor, so you leave some. And so the Jews left part of their field untended, unharvested, so that the poor could find something to eat. They did it in their vineyards. They did it in their fields. Why? Because I am the Lord your God. You shall be holy, for I am holy. You shall not steal or deal falsely with one another. Their neighbors did. You shall not swear falsely by my name or profane the name of your God. Their neighbors did. Why? Because I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your neighbor or rob him. Their neighbors did. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you till the morning. The neighbors did. Okay, you've worked for me. I'll pay you in the morning. Well, one, it gets people to come back the next morning to get their wages. Hey, you want another day's work? Okay. Well, it also keeps their money overnight. Keeps them coming back. Right? God is concerned about the plight of the poor. So we make sure that they get what's fair. Why? Because I am the Lord. I am holy. You shall not cheat your neighbor. You shall not rob him. You shall not do injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people. You shall not take a stand against the life of your neighbor. Why? I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because I am the Lord, and I am holy, and you shall be holy. All these other people I skipped over. You shall not curse the deaf. They can't hear you. Or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, because that's just fun. You got to wonder about these people that were around the Jews at the time and what their little habits were. You know, cursing the deaf because they couldn't hear him, put stumbling blocks in front of the blind. Don't do that. That's just messed up. Don't be like them. I'm God. I'm holy. Don't do that. It's like some MTV sitcom. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, God says, I'm holy. Be like me. And holy is one of those church words. We use these words all the time. But we use it so much, we don't really know what it means. It's one of those phrases that we use so much. It was great. We had the wonderful song, Carrie Job's Revelation song. It's a great song. But what does holy mean? Holy means set apart, different. I take something, and I say, here it is. I am going to set it apart for a specific purpose. I am going to consecrate it. I am going to take it, and I'm going to say, this is consecrated. And I'm going to make it holy, and I'm only going to use it for this thing. And now it is holy, it is consecrated. They're synonyms. Holy and consecrated mean the same thing. It is set apart for a specific purpose. God is consecrated. He is holy. He is set apart for his own purpose. Glory. And he has set us apart for that same purpose. Glory. There was a time, years ago, two buildings back, when an air conditioning went out. And we were all there during praise and worship, and it was hot. It was not one of these summer or one of these winters where we were all freezing and we had like the really great coats and the scarves and the hats and all that kind of stuff. It was a summer, and there were people in the congregation that were in like shorts and t-shirts. And the clergy were up there in like dresses and like black clothes from like head to toe and dresses, and we were dying and just pouring. It's like, oh, for a handkerchief, you know, just something to blot the brow. And it occurred to me that there was the sacristy just around the corner, and there were these drawers that had drawers full of handkerchiefs. I mean, piles and piles and piles of freshly washed and freshly ironed linens. And I leaned over to Father David and I said, do you go to hell for using a purificator to wipe the sweat off your brow? And he looked at me and said, yes. Those are consecrated. And technically, no, you don't, but never mind that. It's a sin, but never mind. Those linens are consecrated. They're blessed. They're set apart for holy work. We only use those for work at the altar. They're only used to clean the chalices and the patens and the sacred vessels. Likewise, we don't use the chalice for fruit punch at youth retreats. Okay? Doesn't happen. No matter how big the party is, you're not going to see the chalices and centerpieces on the tables. Okay? It's not going to happen. Those are set aside as consecrated vessels. They have a set purpose. We have prayed over them. We have said, God, set these aside. Make them useful in your holy purposes. And we can only use them for those one thing. You have been set aside for a holy purpose. I have been set aside for a holy purpose. You have been set aside for a holy purpose. All of us have been set aside for a holy purpose. We as the church are those who have been called out. The church is the ecclesia, the called out, ekkaleso, out of, called. We are called out of the world and consecrated to be holy. And our purpose is to bring others in, to call others out. And how do we do that? By being holy. We do that by being holy. We do that by being different. Let's look at what St. Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians. In his letter to the Corinthians, and I'm going from chapter 3, he says, starting at verse 16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in you?" Do you know what you have to do to make a temple? You consecrate it. You take a regular building and you make it holy. "If anyone defies the temple of defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone amongst you seems wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, things present or things come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's."